This week on the Inside Flap.
Posh, it would be Peter. And if you were doing Cockney, it would be Peter.
Oh, I like that. Peter. Peter.
Peter, that's with the gottle stop, the famous, which has vanished from English, by the way. It vanished from Cockney, by the way, except in the older generation like me. It's all brav and stuff that I can't even pronounce. I can't even do it now. I can't even do the accent now. It's like, oh, you know, I've been left behind by the younger generation.
Do you do any narrating of audiobooks?
Oh, no. No, why would I do that when Kovner comes in and can do all the accents perfectly? They keep asking me, the Germans in particular, they always want you to read. And I'm going, really? Why?
The Inside Flap is available on demand and every week on iTunes, Spotify, and around the world on theinsideflap.com. What more can we do for you?
Podcasting live from Littleton, Colorado. This is the Inside Flap Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. My name is Dave Medicus, and welcome to our show. Seated across the table, directly opposite across from me, and we are broadcasting from the office, is Laura Medicus.
Howdy.
Won't be too long before we'll be broadcasting back out in the Snack Shack.
The Snack Shack,
in the Snack Shack. Welcome.
I gotta clean the Snack Shack out.
The Inside Flap Podcast. Yeah, and I gotta get Wi-Fi out there.
Such a mess. Every time I walk by, I'm just like, well, someday I will be working out here again.
Someday. We got a great show for you today. Inside Chat Edition. We are joined by Ben Aronovitz for a fun chat about his new novel, Amongst Our Weapons. Ben is the best-selling author of the Rivers of London urban fantasy series. His latest book is Amongst Our Weapons. He was just such a... I had a great chat with him. So much fun to talk to. Just, I had like a smile on my face the whole... He kept cracking me up laughing. Such a great guy. Anything you ever wanted to know about jellied eels, you will find out in our chat. Have you ever heard of jellied eels?
No.
Okay, well, strap yourself in. You're going to find out everything you want to know about them and more. And we'll have that conversation for you in just a second. But first, I want to tell you guys a quick little story about how... Now, the interesting thing about being a teacher is that when you leave, and teachers are leaving schools left and right to go to other schools, sometimes they leave the profession altogether. Yes,
it's called
nowadays
the Great Resignation.
But
across all professions.
But even before that, teachers all the time are always thinking the grass is always greener at another school. So they leave schools and they hop around schools left and right. I have taught at 9 different schools, but you know,
it's actually not that bad.
It isn't.
You're 51.
It keeps things fresh and interesting. I was like a new, you know, it's just I don't know. Anyway.
Well, you've also worked in urban public schools, not suburban.
Right.
And they come with low they don't get a lot of money.
Not a lot of money at all.
And they don't have a lot of parent participation.
Tough gigs.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is, when you leave one school, oftentimes you'll find yourself, you know, for one reason or another, going back to see teachers or just to I had to go back last week to return some stuff. I had borrowed some microphones from Estelle, the dance teacher at my last school, and I had to go back. And I don't know if in business, if you leave one business, you don't find yourself going back. But all the time, you'll see teachers who've taught there before coming back, maybe to visit students, you know, graduation.
I will see other designers that I know and have worked with at different designer events.
But that's different. That's out at events.
Like, but I'm certainly not going into their office.
No, and you would never go back to offices that you worked at.
No.
And be like, hey, what's up? I'm back.
There's like issues with that because of, I guess, the friendly competition, I think, amongst businesses.
True.
Yeah.
I
don't know if designers have that, but I imagine that like finance companies might have that.
I wasn't a big guy on going back to visit old schools, but it happens every once in a while. And I'm always like, why is that guy back here? Why? You know, you left us. Was my always, of course, you know, I'm very hypocritical here as I've left many schools. But my thought is, don't come back here. You left. You don't get to come back.
I understand that.
But anyway, the point is this. So I go back to my old school the other day. And I've got my equipment. I'm going around down the hallway. And I got my kind of head on a swivel because there are certain teachers you don't want to run into.
Oh, really?
Because it's been a while. It's been almost a full year since I've been there. You know it's going to involve a long and involved conversation. And you know how much of a fan I am of small talk. Not at all.
I know. So I love small talk.
I don't want to. There are a few people I might want to run. I wanted to see Kim. I know Kim was doing a lot of work at NCAS and Quinn.
And Kim and Quinn.
Kim
That's
and
funny.
Quinn. And I did go search out Quinn, but he's like, the guy who was in the room is like, no, he's downstairs in one of the science building or science rooms.
I want to equate this to baseball.
Oh, please.
Because we were talking about baseball last night.
Yes, we were. Take me out to the ballgame.
Everything, as we all know as Americans, it all relates to baseball.
It all goes back to Cracker Jacks and baseball, yes.
So I observed last night, there was a first baseman talking, like having a pretty fairly intense
animated conversation
with the guy that was on his base.
The guy that just got on.
And I was like, what's that about? And you're like, yeah, the first baseman, they chat. They are known for talk. They're talkers.
Yes, they are.
And they talk about all different things. And I thought, well, that's what I would like. I'd like to be a first baseman.
You want to be the first
I could
baseman.
Receive them in. Talk to them.
Easy. Let's isolate that.
Okay. I can have them over at the base. Talk.
Yeah, boy.
Okay, we're going to isolate that clip.
Thank you. We've been watching too much of The Office. Talk to them.
Yes.
Have a great conversation and then send them on their way.
That's right.
I would love that. I would really like that.
You would be a great first
I'm trying
person.
To think of the angriest position on the field. Okay. And I think you might be the catcher.
Catcher. It has to be the catcher.
I could see you being the catcher and you being incredibly frustrated by working with whoever is trying to pitch to you.
See, there's where you're wrong. The catcher is also another. They get to see every batter. First baseman.
Yeah, but they can heckle.
The first baseman,
they don't heckle. I'm not a heckler.
Yeah,
I'm just going to talk to you.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to heckle.
You might be the heckler might be the third baseman.
The third baseman.
You know, we used to see Nolan Arenado. He was constantly chatting to the umpire, anybody within earshot, the mouth.
That's true. If
you go to a game, that's right, a fun thing.
This does not support my...
Just to observe... And Nolan's, we never shut up. We'd see he'd be like shouting halfway across the diamond.
It does make you wonder if he's somebody who people are like, oh, there's Nolan, go the other way. Don't make eye contact.
Don't try to leg out that double and a triple. You get caught by Nolan Arenado.
So in other words, I think of you as like the catcher or the pitcher alone.
The churlish
up there.
Pitcher. The relief pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I'm the genial first baseman.
That's true. I'm walking down the hallways trying not to run into anybody. All of a sudden, I'm going, and then Michelle's room is like this. The high school, I don't want to give the name of it away, but it's so sprawling and spread. There's no steps. There's a ramp.
It's a weird high school.
It's sprawling. It's huge. I don't understand who designed it. There's no windows
anywhere.
It's a bad design. It's awful. It's literally like a prison. It's a terribly designed high school. It's awful. And No windows.
That's all you need to know.
So it's long, it's sprawling, it's stretched out, and I got to walk down like 3 miles of corridor to reach Mistel's room.
Terrible.
So I'm going down the hallway, trying not to run into any teachers, walking quietly, head on a swivel.
The relief pitcher.
The relief pitcher, that's right. I hear around the corner, I hear what sounds like two high school girls just go, And I've been hearing terrible, unfortunately, the high school, not to go deep into what's going on over there, but there's three separate schools on this campus. There have been for some time, and now they're tearing everything apart. They're getting rid of all the teachers. They all have to reapply for their jobs. They're trying to turn it into one unified high school, and it's having the opposite effect in that all the schools on campus are warring with each other. It's awful.
Wow.
It's terrible. Fights every day. Apparently, Mistel was telling me about a backboard that got broken in the gym. I don't know what's going on. So I hear this, and I'm like, okay, well, let me just go around the corner. Break it up. Clearly, you've never been a teacher. No.
Sorry, no.
I'm going to duck my head down, and I'm going to scurry past in the hopes that they don't see me. So I turn the corner and I'm not looking. I just see them out of the these two girls out of the corner. I'm like, bah, 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 bah. And I walk past, scuttle past them, and this is what I hear. Bah, 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 bah. Medicus! Oh, Medicus! And these two girls were screaming, and all of a sudden,
what?
They are overjoyed. They come running up. Both of them, big hugs. Hey, hey, how's it going? They're actually, what? It turned out there were three of them, a bystander. Oh. But they all come running up, and we're chatting. And
oh, my goodness.
And now the word hero gets tossed around an awful lot, but I feel like I, in this instance, was a little bit of a hero.
Returning now. Champ.
The returning champion.
No,
that's
wow.
That's right.
Wow.
Without Boy, even would, doing anything.
No wonder your ego has been so big.
My presence alone.
Oh, my goodness.
Broke up what ostensibly was going to be a massive fight. It could have been, my goodness, it could have been a brawl. Who knows what this thing could have escalated into.
Wow.
But it was good to see those two kids. And in fact, I did run into a number of students. And I did actually... It was a little bit, you know, as I drove away from the school, as all these kids, I saw, I don't know, a good number of kids, and they all told me how much they miss me and all
That's
this
so
and
nice,
about
Dave.
What's going on. Well, it's nice.
You'd only been there last year, right? It was your last year.
Last year was my last year.
Yeah, last school year, not last year.
And I'd been there for 5 or 6 years.
I thought you'd been there 7 years.
It might have been.
It's, yeah.
It might have been. But as I'm driving away from the school.
Yeah. Sense of relief.
No, the waterworks came out.
You were kidding
me. I was sobbing like a baby.
Were you really?
Sobbing like a little child.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, yeah. It was. It was.
Yeah, because you had been there a very long time.
I had, and just to see how much these kids.
The kids there are really nice. I liked those kids.
Super nice. They're so nice. They're so nice. And they.
It's a tough school, but it doesn't necessarily mean the kids there are tough.
No, the kids are great. It's not the kids' fault. Mm-hmm. And it's just always a case of, and then the school I'm at right now, it's always. No matter where you're, the rich get richer, the poor get poor. I'm trying to fix the lights in the auditorium over there.
Oh.
And the bulbs have all burnt out. The only way to get up them is to get a cherry picker. There's two in the district. There's no way, there's no ladder. The thing is broken up there, so you can't lower the lights to it's just the way it goes. It's the way
And
it goes.
They're basically going to school in a prison environment.
Yeah, so I was feeling a great amount of guilt for having left the school.
Oh, gosh, yeah. Because your school that you're at now is beautiful.
Yeah.
Big windows.
Big windows, big budgets, big support from parents, but... Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. That's sad. That's sad.
It was.
Oh, do you think it's like a Baltimore Oriole relief pitcher coming back and visiting the Orioles after he's been at the Yankees?
Right, exactly.
The Yankees or the Red Sox, and that's exactly what, after you spend
some time playing for the Yankees with the Dodgers, with their empty pockets, bottomless pockets.
Yeah.
And then he goes back to the Orioles.
Whoa. And then he feels sad.
Well, at least you're playing in the Camden Yards. At least there's a beautiful ballpark.
Yeah, but it's in the middle of Baltimore, Dave. It's in the middle of Baltimore.
Dave told me he won't.
It's in a terrible area of Baltimore.
Dave said he won't even go to the games anymore.
No, you probably shouldn't.
You can't.
I would imagine so.
Murder's right outside the stadium.
Ah.
All right. Well, anyway, let's...
I'm trying to link it up.
Nice. I like how you do it. Always bringing it back to baseball with Laura Medicus. That's right. Always with the baseball with you. And here's a guy, Ben, probably doesn't know a thing about baseball. Probably knows plenty about cricket, though. Who knows?
Oh, is he British?
Guy. Yeah,
oh, he's British,
guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. He should probably know a lot about cricket.
But let me tell you a little bit about his book. This is the 9th book in the Rivers of London urban fantasy series featuring detective and apprentice wizard Peter Grant. In this book, he includes everything Ben does, everything you want in a Ben Aronovich book, including the witty, snappy dialogue, lots of action, plenty of chase scenes, lots of magic. There's an angry, vengeful angel. There are ghosts and, of course, talking foxes. This one is a lot of fun.
This is urban fantasy,
this
right?
This is urban fantasy.
I love urban fantasy.
You need to dip into this series.
I know. I actually have his first book on hold right now.
You do. So you need to check that out.
Yeah.
And if anybody out there is unfamiliar with Ben Aronovich, really, you got to give this series a look. You can read this book as a standalone. I believe his first book in
the series has a blurb from Charlene Harris, who is my goddess.
That's right. Yes, it is. She's great.
Yeah.
As is this one. It's a very, very funny book. And Ben's a very funny guy. talk to, as you will hear in my interview. This is Ben Aaronovich.
If I were a rich man, yabba dibba 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 dum, all day long I biddy biddy bum. If I were a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work hard. Yabba dibba 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 dum.
Oh, okay. What do you got? A little tea or a coffee? Or what do you got this morning?
Coffee. I may pop out and get another one in a minute. But
all right. No worries. Is it a little late in the day to be drinking coffee, isn't it? Or is that your afternoon? What time is it over there?
It's just gone 6 o'clock. 10 past 6.
Man, I can't drink coffee after 6 o'clock. I'm done.
No, I stop after 8. Don't worry.
8? Really? What time do you go to bed?
10.
Yeah, you can't drink a cup of coffee at 8 and then not.
I am massively habituated to coffee. I am ridiculously habituated to coffee. I get a kind of definite. There's a definite problem when my caffeine to blood ratio falls below that point, and people go, Ben, you can't be drinking that much coffee. I go, oh yeah, I can. Trust me.
I guess you can, and you know. There are some people who do that. My mother-in-law is a prime example of that as well. And my wife, she can knock back the coffee, but I can't.
I don't get withdrawals though. People go, "Oh, you must get withdrawals when you don't have coffee." So I tried it for a week just to see.
Yeah.
And apart from the fact that I went to sleep for like the next 10 years, you know, 13 hours. Whenever I like need to decompress or something, I stop drinking coffee and I just sleep for like 24 hours a day for like 6 weeks. That's a week. And then I go, oh, give me some coffee. That's bad.
Gotcha.
I'm writing again now.
Gotcha. Well, Ben, thanks so much for... What's that?
Disappointed. There was no, I was listening to your podcast today, and I was going,
like,
"There's no dog."
Oh, right. No, I'm at school right now. So sometimes we broadcast from the house where the dog is. Now, right now, I'm in my my lovely theater classroom, as you can see here.
Yes. Very nice. Yes.
But we got testing going on all week, so no kids.
Okay.
Yeah. We had to really sit around and look busy. So. You know, if anybody comes barging in.
Well, I'm a writer. I mean, I also do plays. I can pretend to be a playwright.
Do you really? Do you write plays as well?
No, my friend does, though. I know how it works.
You write song lyrics. I was enjoying some of your song lyrics.
Well, I'm working on a version of If I Were a Rich Man called If I Won a Booker. Play some... great cosmic plan. If I won a literary prize, I can't quite get that to rhyme yet. I'm trying to find a rhyme for that last bit.
Well, that's a problem. They got websites that can help you out with that.
No, gosh, that's fun. I'm not doing this professionally. This is just a laugh.
Oh, okay, all right.
I mean, I'd totally use it if I was doing it professionally. I don't want you to think I'm a snob. I'm totally any help I can.
Okay,
get,
all right. I gotcha.
This is just like a laugh. If I get desperate, I'll go check.
Okay. Well, Ben, listen, I loved your latest entry in your series. What was it that inspired you to write this new one?
Well, the latest one, I mean, apart from the fact that it's under contract. Who always asks that? Like, you know, I've got a contract that says you must write the next book or die.
I know.
My agent, it's always funny because my agent said, sent me a link to the website of the Silver Vault, and I went there and I went, oh my god, I gotta murder someone in here. And it's quite a lot of my stories start with that basic premise.
Okay, all right.
And then, well, why is he there? What are they doing in there? What's the reason? Why are they murdered? You know, what's the plot? And I had a vague idea of doing something to do with the people that this is about. I don't want to give it too many spoilers away,
right?
Where what part of the past was coming back to bite Peter Grant in the ass? This book, and I kind of worked that in. I thought, oh, it's got to be this, and it's going to be that, and it all kind of fitted together lovely. I mean, I always find that you just start from a simple premise and work your way outwards.
Right.
If you spend a bit of time on it, then often like you know, pieces you didn't know existed will just fall into your hands when you need them. You go, oh, I want this piece. It will come into my hands. Hurrah. You just do it. And, you know, it's like an act of faith. You hold it out
really
your hands.
It really
give
is.
Give me the next bit of plot, and the next bit of plot falls into your hands. And you go, thank you, higher power, of, you know, writing power.
Are you always on the lookout? Like, there's a line I noticed in your book about a cop, or as you say, a copper, which sounds, it sounds so much better when you say copper. But over here in America, we dumb it down. We just say cop.
We say cop sometimes. Do but you? It's, yeah, if we're being kind of like deliberately American. I mean, people will deliberately use Americanisms to, like, for various effects, like, you know, to sound like more, to sound like a TV show or as a joke or to show that they're serious. You know, it's like, you know, English.
It's, that's true. And, you know, like, yeah, it's a good point because around here we do the same thing. Like, just yesterday in class, I broke out into an English accent because this kid's named Peter. And for some reason, I like saying Peter. It just sounds so much better. So I guess if we can do it, why wouldn't you do the same thing?
Other people do it. Yeah, and we all do it with equally bad accents, I notice as well.
That was just one word. Now you can't grade my...
Yes, I can. It's okay. Peter. If you're doing posh, it would be Peter. And if you were doing Cockney, it would be Peter.
Oh, I like that. Peter.
Peter, that's with the got all stop, the famous, which has vanished from English, by the way. It vanished from Cockney, by the way, except in the older generation like me. It's all bruv and stuff that I can't even pronounce. I can't even do it now. I can't even do the accent now. It's like, oh, you know, I've been left behind by the younger generation.
Do you do any narrating of audiobooks?
No. Why would I do that when Kovner comes in and can do all the accents perfectly? They keep asking me, the Germans in particular, they always want you to read. And I'm going, really? Why? Why would you want me to read something you've probably read in a terrible accent? No, in a language you don't even speak.
Why is it? What is it about the Germans that they want to? I wonder.
Oh, when you do an event in Germany, it's like 2.5 hours long. They don't just come in, do an hour's, you know, Q&A and signing. No, in Germany you have a reading, then like the German translator usually reads it, and then there's a bit of a Q&A, and then there's another reading, and then there's another reading. But on the other hand, they pay you money. So,
oh, okay.
Which you'd never get. I don't know about over in America, but you never get a bookshop at handing over the readies. In Germany, they just like hand you a, you know, the first time it happened, I was like, what's this for? They said, that's your premium. I was like, ah.
Wow.
I went home with more money than I, you know, that's how often does that happen when you go abroad? I went home with more money than I left. I was like, oh, good, I like Germany. Germany's my new favorite place.
I picture like a whole spread of like sausages and meats and cheeses and a lot of beer.
Oh, that's the rest of my favorite thing about Germany. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the worst. Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, currywurst, bratwurst. Just wurst.
Now, you have something in your book that I never heard of. And again, I'm just a dumb American, but these jellied eels. What the hell?
Oh, yeah, well, yeah. No, there's no reason for you to have heard of
jellied eels. Okay, all right, good. Okay, good.
That's not being a dumb American. That's being 6,000 or 7,000 kilometers away from the most horrid ever.
It sounds terrible.
This is a traditional, well, it's a particularly traditional working class Cockney dish. And it's one of the things that comes out of the river, you see. That's why, I mean, Beverly, to a certain extent, is influenced by the fact that her mother is the goddess of River Thames, and so therefore,
she's
going to eat things like jellied eels, and Peter is like a, you know, born in the sound of bow bells. He's not going anywhere near that kind of stuff. You know, there's a limit. I mean, he'll eat cows for, you know, he's a good solid West African boy, but he'll eat cows for and shit like that. But he's not going anywhere near jellied eels. Some people swear by them. It's like mushy peas. I can't stand mushy peas, but some people love mushy peas.
Oh, that's true. That's another thing you guys do.
I like my peas to be nice and round and firm and not mushed in any way. I like my potato mashed, but my peas firm.
All right, you heard it.
That's the way around I like these things.
Well, yeah, it sounded disgusting. But you know what was not discussed? One thing I liked about in the book here is that anytime like something magical happened, you know, you best make sure to have your iPhone put away, laptops, Apple Watches, all this stuff. Are you anti-technology guy?
No, it's because if you're doing a story about where magic is real, you have two options. You can either have one where what they call the masquerade is in place, so that it's going on, but nobody really knows about it.
Right.
And another one where, like, everyone's just walking around doing spells in the street and it's just totally expected. Like, True Blood is like that. Like, everyone knows vampires exist. They're a thing that everyone knows about.
Right.
If you're going to have the masquerade, and I prefer the masquerade, if you're going to have the masquerade, you have to explain why no one's got lots of footage of it happening. You have to say, why hasn't anyone got, like, why isn't this on YouTube and TikTok, right? Why is there no TikTok videos of people doing magic and stuff? So I did two things. I made it quite bad for your health if you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
And I made it so it eats microprocessors.
Yes. Oh, well, that was very smart.
If you're a practitioner, you wear a wind-up watch and you drive a car that was built before you know, electronic management systems were a thing.
Gotcha.
Which is like every car after about 1995, really. But it also gives an excuse in American terms for everyone to go around in you know, classic Camaros and things. They kind of explained Supernatural to me, right? They were going around in classic Camaros because it's like, you have to go around a car like that because otherwise the magic fucks with the engine management system.
No,
but of course, from Peter's point of view, this just means as a cop, he can just splat a car and just get it to stop because he can just wipe out its engine management system with nobody noticing, which he has done on a number of occasions.
It comes in handy, this magic thing, you know.
Well, yes. Otherwise, why would you do it?
Right. What now got me wondering, like, what kind of spells I would like to do. Certainly getting rid of technology in the class. As a teacher, getting rid of the technology in the classroom would be nice with the kids on their phones. But like, what if you could, like, a spell that you would like to enchant upon people, what would your spell be?
I'd like a common sense spell to be totally this. I would like to go down Downing Street and cast a common sense spell on the current government a bit.
Well,
warts. I think if I couldn't give common sense warts as this kind of substitute for common sense, but I'm a bit partisan that way. Other people, your mileage may vary about my government, but I just warts, I think, is too good for them, honestly.
Yeah, we've been through it over here as well, and it just boggles the mind where people's thoughts are and what they're actually thinking and if they're thinking and how they believe what they see on the internet. And it's just
it's astonishing, isn't it?
It's astonishing. Yes, it's astonishing. It's absolutely astonishing.
The bright promise of the internet was that it was going to bring information to everybody. No, it's going to bring disinformation to everybody.
Yes, it's done the exact opposite.
Very handy, but lots and lots of very clear. Yeah, it's what I think it was Churchill said, a lie can go around the world before the truth has got its boots on.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good one.
Yeah. And that's the thing. All these attractive conspiracy theories can, because they, you know, conspiracy theories are very tasty. They're like chocolate. Like, they're like pie. You know, nom, 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 nom. I will have a conspiracy theory. Oh, yes, it's all lizards or something. Because it makes sense and it satisfies a kind of deep craving need in you. But the fact that, you know, you then get diabetes and a pot belly is neither here nor there, right? Because by that time, you know, you're just addicted to, oh, I must have more processed sugar. And so I think why did we get onto this subject?
I have no idea. It's your writing, your books. But, you know, the thing about conspiracy, yes, I'm blaming you. That's right. The conspiracy theories used to have some kind of weight, some kind of manifest to them. Like, did Lee Harvey Oswald really shoot JFK? You know, that's something we could all sit around and ponder. Nowadays, it's every schmuck has got their own. You know, like, are birds real? Is the world flat? It's like, come on, can we get some conspiracy theories with some real heft to them?
My brother wrote a book on conspiracy theories, and I read that. It was very useful.
Really?
But yeah, he wrote a book called Voodoo Histories, which is about the history of conspiracy theories.
Oh.
I recommend it. It's a bit out of date now because it only goes up as far as, I think, birthers.
So writing runs in the family for you guys, huh?
Yeah, although fortunately he does nonfiction.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
We don't overlap.
That's good. It would be, I think it would be kind of tough if you were both writing fiction.
Oh, yeah, it would be terrible, especially since, you know, I mean, we actually got a very similar sense of humor, so probably, oh, I love that book you wrote. No, that was my brother. Actually, he gets that quite a lot. He goes, like, congratulations on your novel. And he goes, like, that's not me, it's brother.
Oh, that's got to be the worst.
Not the cross.
You now, I was reading on your website that you claim to have written for the quote cheapest soap opera ever made.
Yes.
What was that all about?
That was Jupiter Moon, and it was made for a nascent satellite broadcasting service that has gone the way of all flesh by now. And it was very hugely ambitious kind of science fiction space soap opera. Okay. About a school in orbit around Jupiter that just really was the cheap. It was so cheap that you couldn't have more than 7 characters per episode. So you had to carry on the storylines. Couldn't have, because they couldn't have all the actors in. They couldn't afford to have all the actors in at the same time. They had about like 13 to 14 actors, but you could only have 7 of them at most per episode.
Oh my god.
For reasons. And they shot it in like 3 days, and most fun I've ever had writing scripts, it has to be said, because it was just a joy to write for. You just sat down and you just wrote it. It was brilliant. And you didn't, like, you know, it was, they didn't take it too seriously, I didn't take it too seriously, the actors didn't take it so seriously, but they did a good job. I mean, they did it as professional job you can do for, you know, 2.5p an hour television, really.
Oh my god. Well, no wonder you got into the novel writing business then.
Well, yeah, the budget is much bigger on a novel. Okay. Spectacle.
But you also wrote for Doctor Who as well.
That was only marginally more expensive than this is British television we're talking about. Oh, okay. You have to be, you know, filming in a some kind of stately home before the budget goes over a certain amount.
I gotcha. Now, as a guy who's got a long running series before, oh, and speaking of the songs that you wrote, I did enjoy the one where you wrote, and it seems like you've taken this advice to heart.
You got to write
a sequel or two. In your case, it is now time, a sequel or 9.
Yes.
Yes. Do you worry about, like, keeping, do you have a way to keep track of all the characters' backstories and all the little, you know?
I have notes, and I have a whiteboard, and I rely a certain amount on the fact that I've got very pedantic fans who write it all down and put it on the internet, which is quite handy.
That really does come in handy when you can just go...
It does, because you can double check it. You see, yeah. You can go and look at your stuff, and then you look at their stuff and see whether, you know, and if there's a discrepancy, you know that one of them's wrong, and it might possibly you. So then you have to go check. But it's very useful. I write a very linear story, so it's not like I have to, and it's not an ongoing saga in the way of sort of like Song of Ice and Fire or something.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
It's much more like a, you know, a classic detective series where you have a detective and you have a murder, and then you have a detective and they same detective, next murder, next murder, next murder. Right. And the books are like that. So it's much less kind of different. If you notice, some of these very long series fall into that format, like the 87th Precinct series and things like that.
Right.
Or in British terms, things like Rebus or Morse or Poirot, they all fall into a series where you have, like, so you don't have to worry about it too much because you have your central characters, and then each book is like a different murder, and so therefore you don't have to keep track, although they do have distressingly develop their own lives sort of like separate from the murders, which I think is unfair of them, really, personally.
Well, I like the murder in this one, and I don't know if we want to reveal the how, you know, the original, how you start out with how the.
I think we can say that, like, basically he has has his heart popped out.
Right, but it was a nice clean job of it. But it's just a horrifying image. I had to really look away for a little bit. But well done with that one.
Like an ice cream scoop. How I thought of it.
Like, yeah, that was a good one. Do you have to do, besides going to the silver museum, or what kind of silver place you went to?
Vault. No, you can go buy silver there. I recommend anyone going to London, give it a check out. Is the, but after a while, the amount of silver just makes your eyes bleed.
Well, I'm taking a group.
this month's silver.
We're actually going on next year. I'm taking a group of students over to England.
We'll take the damn chance you may show them the silver vault if they let you in. It's a shop, but I don't know if they're really. How many kids are you taking?
We got about 50 kids.
Yeah, I don't think you want to take them all in one go.
No, we'll take little groups. So we have chaperones.
Split them up. Take them down there. Show them Russell Square, the Silver Vault. There's lots of stuff down there because it's sort of adjacent to the city. So you there's lots of things to go and see down there. You can just move on from there to Holborn and then to St. Paul's and then across the river to the bank, to the theatre. Not the theatre. Well, actually, yeah, you can go to the Shakespeare Theatre, and then you can go across the river on the Bonky Bridge.
We're going to. I've seen those bridges are nice. Although I don't know what I was. We were there a couple of years ago. We went to the Globe Theatre, and then I was out for a run one morning, and everybody. I was going across a bridge, and everybody was on the bike, and I was the only one running. And I didn't know if I was breaking some kind of law there or something.
No. There's no jaywalking in Britain. Okay. The cars did not win that battle here.
That's great.
You absolutely right to run out in front of anyone. They will run you over and kill you, but you know you have the legal right to do that.
Now, Ben, do you have any interesting writing quirks that you seem like a quirky guy to me? Do you have anything that you?
I mean, I'm a writer. Every writer is different, aren't they? We all sit down in front of a word processor or a typewriter or, in some bizarre cases, a notepad, which I just find weird.
Yes.
Anyone who's writing longhand obviously doesn't have my cramped writing style, right? I'd just dictate it straight from my brain if I could, but unfortunately I've tried dictation thing and it doesn't work. I just go, and then you just have to keep editing out all the ums. I don't know if they quirks. Give me an example of what you think a quirk is for a writer.
Well, like some writers have to have like a lucky candle. Like one writer we're talking to had to light a candle every time, or they have certain.
Okay. That's very quirky. I have to work on. I can't work on a laptop.
You don't.
I generally have to work at my desk where I am now. I have to work at my desk. I use a tower computer. I like a big screen. I like to sit in a proper. I was trained as a typist, so I have to sit up and beg in a proper trained typist kind of way. Yeah. Not that it helps me really speed up particularly, but it's just more comfortable. I spent an awful lot of money on my chair. My number one tip for new writers is spend money on a chair.
Yes.
Right? Because if you're going to spend 6 to 8 hours, right, even if you're in your kind of like early 20s, right, by the time you get to your 30s, you will thank me if you spend money on your chair. Okay, because you will not be walking in a bent over position, which is what will happen.
We were talking to one author, and she was telling me she wrote like half of her book lying in bed. I'm like, how do you lie in bed and write?
They sit in bed with a laptop. I don't know, right? Don't know. It's just their eyesight is obviously better than mine, apart from anything else. If they can see the screen, you know. But I always have to work at my desk. I like to work very early in the morning. I like to get up about 5 in the summer when it's light. So I tend to get up at 5 in the summer.
Mm.
And right then, and it's all like, la, 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 right. And that's my kind of favorite position to write in, is first thing in the morning with the sunlight coming in through the thing. And then I have a nice nap in the afternoon, you see.
No wonder you got to drink so much coffee. You're constantly in a state of going to bed or waking up.
I go to bed about, you know, the only trouble with that is you can kiss your social life goodbye, really, because like everyone goes, you coming out tonight? No, I'm going to bed. And then you fall over. I go out, people go, let's go out for lunch. And I'm like, yeah, and I fall asleep in my soup, basically. It's really embarrassing. And you go, I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to bed now. Go and talk to me about when I travel and I get on a plane and I get on, it's like, go quite a long haul flight. And I'm like, at the other end, I'm like, I don't know whether it's Monday or Tuesday. Everyone's going, it's Tuesday, Ben.
But keyboard is in good shape. We were talking. I was chatting with Jeffrey Deaver, and he was telling me by the end of every novel, he has to replace his keyboard because he's worn it out.
Okay, I don't write as long as... Obviously, I don't write as... I thought I had a hard action. I do have a hard action.
Good, well, I was watching you pantomime, and it looks like you're really banging on the keys there.
Yeah, well, I trained on typewriters. I trained on mechanical typewriters, not even electrical typewriters.
Me too, me too.
When I started, I was like, bang, 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 bang. You know, you have to hit it hard, or yes, you didn't get a letter.
Right.
And it's taken me a long time to get it down to the fact where I maybe pound the keyboard rather than just hit it with a hammer. Dunk, dunk, dunk. Not every novel, but every other.
You do? Oh, okay.
Mostly though, because it comes covered in crumbs. It's just like that. After a while, it stops working because there's so many crumbs. I'm just not waste on there. God.
So there you go. There's a good quirk. You like to snack while you write.
I basically like to sit at my thing. I do everything. I watch television, sit there, blah, blah, blah.
What's your favorite snack? What's your jelly deals? What are we talking about? What do you snack?
No, I'm on a diet. It's fruit. Bloody fruit. Fruit and sort of healthy things. I don't even want to think about it.
No. Well, you got to be careful with around, like, you can't get an orange, like, within a mile of your computer keyboard. You're going to get all that sticky juice in there.
No. I don't eat anything that's going to stuck oranges. Yeah, that's not. Anyway, I don't like oranges because they're too fiddly.
They're too what?
Fiddly, you're gonna have to peel them again. I mean, like, squish.
A lot of work.
When you get juice everywhere, is when you try and peel them, and, like, problem. You put your thumb in and they go dying. And the next thing you know, like, you know, you've got to redecorate the room or something, or you've sprayed it into your CPU, and that's it for that job.
Well, that's why I've got a grapefruit that's been sitting in my fridge over here for about a month because I just don't have the time to cut out every little individual segment to eat it. I mean,
don't you have a grapefruit knife?
Well, you still got to cut out the little segments.
A curved grapefruit knife.
I've never seen it. Come on, now you're just making stuff up.
No, curved grapefruit, a proper grapefruit. Go on Amazon or something and look up grapefruit knife, and you'll find there's a serrated curved grapefruit knife. You push it in and you just roll it around the outside.
Come on, are you serious?
I'm not kidding. You cut the grapefruit in half, sprinkle a bit of sugar on it.
You got to have sugar. Yeah.
And then you eat your grapefruit.
All right, I'm going to look that up.
That's what we were brought up doing in my mom's house. That's why my mom did it.
Oh my God, what the hell? I don't know. I've never heard of that. All right.
Well, I never. You know, there are tons of things you never hear of. And someone goes, "It's like I was having terrible back problems, right?" And it's just, you know, a curse of writing, really.
Right.
And someone said, "Well, put a pillow between your knees when you're sleeping." I went, "Don't be stupid. Why would put in a pillow between your..." You know, and I'd just flip my mattress, I'd swap ends, I'd kind of like, I was going, "Oh, it's so painful, why can't I sleep?" And then I put it between my knees. No, never had a problem since. And I just thought, what is that? Why is that a pillow? Why does that work? It's never mind why or how. It obviously works, but it never occurred to me to do that. And obviously, it's never occurred to you to get a proper grapefruit.
No, because I actually find it infuriating. It sounds great. It sounds amazing. And I'm going to get on it and get one. Yeah. But I'm just mad I've lived for 51 years and not been able to eat a damn grapefruit because I never heard of a stupid spoon. I'm a loop.
Grapefruit knife.
Knife.
You can get grapefruit spoons, though. And they're slightly narrow spoons with serrated edges so that you can pull out the segments more easily. But the knife is the crucial one.
All right.
Actually, to tie this back to the novel, there are things like that in the, you know, that's the sort of thing you find in the silver, antique grapefruit knives.
Okay.
And,
all right.
Gravy boats in the shapes of galleons under sail and things like that. You just go there, you just go, oh my God.
That sounds amazing.
More silver around in the 19th century than there was.
So much silver, so much more polishing than needed to be done. All right, Ben, listen, this is our segment now we call Quick Six. These are six quick questions.
Okay, I'm ready.
But you can take your time with them, in which we find out just a little bit more. It's really a terrible title for this segment. I keep meaning to change.
Quick Six, except it's slow.
Six quickish questions. How about that? Let's go with that. All right, Ben, what is the last show you watched or binged and really enjoyed?
The last show I got to be, Hawkeye.
Hawkeye. What is that?
It's the Marvel show.
Gotcha.
I wasn't expecting to like it. He's not my favorite character. In fact, it never really registered on me, but I like funny. So the comedy aspect of it really appealed to me, and the kind of fact that it was like very low powered. It was people who could like hit people with swords and sticks and stuff, and it wasn't like, you know, mega death things coming from above. I really like that as a superhero concept because it was nice and low key, and I just like he was a very relatable hero because like he just got more and more beat up as the kind of season went on, and I enjoyed that. So that, yeah, that's the last thing I binged. I mean, there's lots of other stuff I like, but that was the last thing I binged.
Nice. All right. Very good. How about this, Ben? What fictional world or place would you like to visit?
I would like to visit the culture by Ian M. Banks, because then I would live forever and have perfect health and anything I wanted.
There you go. Eat all the jelly deals you
yeah, eat all the jelly deals you can eat, and adjust your taste buds. You can probably adjust your taste buds so that they taste nice.
It's the fact that the word jelly is in there. It makes me think that they're going to be sweet. But are they sweet?
No. They're eels. They're eels in jelly. It's like, you know, I don't know. Don't ask me. I never get that close enough to really identify it, to be honest.
Good. Smart man. How about this, Ben? Give me a top five favorite movie of yours.
Top five favorite movies.
One. You can just give me one or two or as many as you.
It's gonna be an 80s fest, right? But in no particular order. Scrooged.
Oh, good one. Bill Murray.
Aliens.
Yes.
Two aliens for the price of one. To get more modern, I really liked The Batman.
Yes.
Even though, you know, I couldn't see what was going on for most of it.
So dark.
It was like, whoa. And, I saw something that was really funny. I can't remember what it was now. It can't be that funny then. Yes. I'll throw in a classic. I'll throw in Monty Python and the Holy Grail. No, Monty Python and the Life of Brian, because that's the best Monty Python.
Life of Brian. I think I can tell from this latest book that one influenced you a lot, I would think.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah, I'm English. Yeah, if you're of a certain age, Monty Python influences you. It's like class. There's, you know, two things you can say about an English person when they're writing, if they're in their 50s now, is they are influenced by class and Monty Python and the Goons, possibly.
Well, you know, but over here as well, I mean, they were huge here. I grew up on it in high school. Me and my friends, we listened to all the comedy albums, had every sketch memorized. So, I mean, they were just as big to a certain sect of kids growing up over here as well in the early 80s.
We used to in the playground.
Yes.
We weren't allowed to watch it. I mean, a lot of us weren't allowed to watch it because it was up too late. It was on too late in the evening, and we used to recite the jokes in the playground. People used to have watched it come in, and we'd do all the jokes. So we actually knew the jokes from the playground before I ever saw any of the films or the sketches on TV.
Oh, that's funny.
We knew all about the parrot sketch and everything. We would recite it to each other. We could do the like whole reams of the sketches.
Yeah.
You know, and the kids today, they can't do that, and, you know.
Well, if it's not 25 seconds long and on TikTok, they haven't seen it. And that's just
everyone keeps saying that, but I reckon. See, I've watched these kids. They will concentrate when they want to.
They absolutely.
Give them something to concentrate on, and, you know, watch them do, I don't know, these games and stuff, and you'll find that they will sit for half an hour doing something I would find massively boring.
That's true. Well, we just had in the fall, we did Midsummer Night's Dream here. Had over 50 kids involved, had a great production of it.
Well, it's a great, it's, you know, Midsummer Night's Dream is the go-to play for kids.
It really is, yeah.
It's like, you don't have to worry. You can teach them some of the language, but, you know, if they don't get the language, the slapstick is fine.
Exactly, yeah. How about this? Ben, maybe this one's a little tougher. How about a top five favorite book?
Oh, God, that is hard. I mean, we're talking about favorite, so... Oh, yeah.
A memorable. How about one that just sticks in the memory banks?
All right, well, let's start. I'm going to have to do token books for each series, for various series, right? So, I'm going to go Guards, Guards by Terry Pratchett, to stand in for all the Pratchetts. Okay. Curse of Chalion by Lewis McMaster Bujold, to stand in for all the Bujolds.
Okay.
I'm Down Below Station, standing for all the CJ Cherries. Cop Hater, to stand in. You know, you see where this is.
I see where you're going. Okay.
Rains. Tonight, Ace and Precinct Stories. That's How many is that? Four? Three or four?
Well, you didn't have to. We don't have to go all five.
I'm just worried I'm going to run out of, run out of slots. And then I think... Yeah. Oh, God, yeah. And then we'll throw in the Lord of the Rings just for variety.
Sure, why not? Why not toss them in as well?
Okay. But there's, you know, the thing about books is I've got more books than anything else in my entire life. And I love books and I love reading. And now that you can get there with so many venues, so you can always have like your entire library with you on your Kindle. And then you can go home and you can look at your entire library on your shelves, because I can afford shelves now. and if you... You go walking or jogging or visit or a train journey and you don't want to sit there really because you want to look out the window, you can listen to entire books on on your phone. I mean, like, I've got entire libraries on my phone now and I just sit there listening to it.
It's great. I can't go 5 minutes with doing something without popping in my earbuds and listening to an audiobook.
Yeah, because it's like, why should you? Right, why should exactly. you? There's lots of really boring things, chores that have to be done, exactly. and you might as well... And do you have like books with various tasks? Like I have books that I've read before, because then I know that I can drip in and out, and while I'm concentrating on something like a task.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Without losing pace, and then you have like thrillers that you're kind of like when you're on a train journey or something. I do quite a lot of reading things that are listening to things that are relevant to what I'm writing. So at the moment, I'm writing something set in 1926 in New York, and so therefore I'm listening to things, people like Toni Morrison, Toni Morrison's jazz, and I'm listening to, which is Chicago, but it's still I love the lyricism of the language, but also you know, Langdon Hughes and all the people that kind of period writers, and of course which I've never got around to reading. I can't believe I couldn't go around to reading. I'm reading what's it called, my brain's gone to sleep. The one about the guy with the party and the long lost love and the lake and the
Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
If only. Anyway, that one.
All right, yeah, that one.
That one will know what I'm talking about.
Savvy listeners can go ahead and look that one up based upon that description. Yeah, but audiobooks are the best. I go, you know, anytime I'm stepping outside, I'm listening. How about this, Ben? Do you have a go-to karaoke song?
No, I will refuse to do karaoke, and anyone who tries to make me is in for a world of hurt. Watch it. I don't mind other people doing karaoke. They want to make fools of themselves on stage. That's fine with me.
All right. Okay, no karaoke songs then. How about this? Finally, Ben, our last of the Quickish Six. What book are you currently reading?
What am I currently reading?
Well, I think you already tipped your hand on this one, yeah.
Well, apart from what I'm reading for work, which is the books I just talked about, I'm currently reading for fun. Why am I reading? Hold on. I'll tell you.
I can never remember. I always have to check to see.
Well, I'm reading. I'm reading. I'm actually listening to it.
Same thing.
I'm listening to The Complete Jeeves and Wooster by... which is being by P.G. Wodehouse, of course, which is being what's happened is Stephen Fry has recorded every single last Jeeves and Wooster book in one volume. It's very nice.
Wow, really?
It's like one credit and you got like 30 hours of Jeeves. Brilliant. It appeals to both my parsimony and my love of reading. That's going to take me a while to work through, though.
Yeah, it really is. You got you got plenty of time to get through that one. All right, Ben. Well, listen, I loved your new book, Amongst Our Weapons, and I really enjoyed chatting with you. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and I thank you for introducing me to your website, which your podcast, which I now listen to.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, I was going, 169 episodes. I can make that last.
Ben, always looking for something to listen to, this guy.
I'm always, you know, because there's always those dead moments when you're having to do boring things.
Always too much boring shit in our lives.
Walking. You have to walk a lot. most people could walk and listen to something at the same time. Let's be honest.
Most of us are capable of that. Although I was looking at this... something has popped up on my social media feed, and I don't usually fall for it, but it was the top 10 near misses, and it was like accidents, car accidents that have been recorded where there were pedestrians nearby and how close the cars would come to hitting people. So I don't know, you know, you always should be aware of your surroundings at all times.
The only advantage of that is like, just don't walk in the road.
There you go. Words of wisdom.
Try not to walk in the main road when you're going along.
There you go. All right, Ben. Take care. Have a great day. And
thank you very much for having me.
You got it. Anytime. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. The
Inside Club. All right, there you go. That was the very, very, very funny Ben Aronovich. And that will do it for us on this. Check out his book. I should tell you the name of his book. It is called Amongst Our Weapons, book number 9 in the Rivers of London series. Or as I typed out, the Rivers of Long series.
Ah.
Which is flat out long.
Rivers of London. The
Rivers of London series.
Can't wait to read that first book. Cool. Yeah,
check it out. My name is Dave Medicus. We'll see you next time.
Adios. I could receive the men.